The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is David Linden.
Good morning, John.
And we've been chatting this morning. David has him and Joan, his wife, his lovely wife, maintain a busy schedule, which is very important for seniors.
Yes.
You don't sit home.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
This is true. Yeah. And just a word about Project Independence. It is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to have people age in place. And they do such a tremendous job. The one thing we always stress to everybody, it's call 311. There's transportation for shopping, for medical, there's social workers, there's light home repairs. There's so many things that Project Independence offers the seniors of the Town of North Hempstead.
Yes, indeed. I've used several myself.
Yeah, okay. And it's a phone call away.
Yeah.
Nothing, sure. Just if you're in doubt, you have a question. 311.
Or 516-869-6311.
Unfortunately, some people are winding up going into the city with the 311. That's why that's the whole number. 516-869-6311. What we're going to do is get right to our guest. This morning, we have Abby Stokes with us. And Abby is the author of This Thing, Is This Thing On? And Abby's been on the program before. And the book is just tremendous for people trying to navigate the world of computers. Good morning, Abby.
Well, good morning. It is so lovely to be speaking to you gentlemen again.
Thank you very much for being willing to participate because it's an important topic.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be talking. Actually, you know what? Some people haven't heard from Abby before. Give us a background of the book and how it came about.
Sure. Actually, we have this year marks a new revised, updated book. So actually, the title is Is This Thing On? But the subtitle is A Friendly Guide to Everything Digital for Newbies, Technophobes, and the Kicking and Screaming. And that's because the new version of the book looks at tablets, smartphones, and computers in equal measure. Originally, when I first did my book 20 years ago, it was just computers. But as we know, things change at such a rapid pace, I wanted to be able to cover the newest technologies if people are either thinking of getting a tablet or a smartphone, or they've just gotten one and they want to learn how to use it. And the most exciting thing is I have a new updated website called AskAbbyStokes.com, and because we couldn't fit everything in the book, we now have 14 video tutorials that are free for anybody to visit that walk you through how to put a passcode on your phone, or how do you use Dropbox, or what's Twitter and how to use it. And underneath each video are printable instructions. You can have the step-by-step instructions right with you after you watch the video.
That's amazing. Ask Abby, A-B-B-Y.
Stokes.com. S-T-O-K-E-S.com.
Perfect. That information
and
is
so
important.
I've been doing this for a little bit over 20 years, and there's nothing more satisfying than seeing somebody who's intimidated by the technology or doesn't understand it at all and seeing how just with the right gentle steps they can make the leap and cross that digital divide.
Perfect.
The title, Is This Thing On? It is so true because I've heard so many cases of people say, my computer doesn't work. Is it on? Is it plugged
in? And sometimes it's as simple as that. I've gotten phone calls by people, 11 o'clock at night, they're so disappointed because they can't print something or they can't. And I always say, well, is the light on? Because maybe it got unplugged when you plugged in the vacuum. And very often, it's something as simple as that, but it doesn't feel simple because it's so overwhelming.
Yes. It's a big machine. It should be a complicated answer, right?
Exactly. And sometimes, usually, I'll say to anybody when they're having trouble with anything, it's the modem isn't working or your phone isn't working, best thing you can do is wait 10 seconds first. A lot of people get anxious within 10 seconds. It's amazing how impatient people are. But then just turn it off, walk away, have a martini or have a chocolate chip cookie or take a walk and come back and turn it on, and usually it'll resolve itself.
Yes, that's something I was taught years back when I first started using a computer. If something isn't working, power down and then come back in a little bit, and more often than not, it's been resolved. The computer is just being cranky.
Right,
and I think it's good for the person to power down and walk away and sort of calm down a little bit, because either you get frightened of it or you get angry with it, and neither of those really help the situation.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's frustrating because people, you don't understand it 100%.
Right.
And your kids, in many cases, are the ones who told you what to do, but if you forgot a step, you're getting backed up, and you wanted to make that purchase, or whatever you're trying to do is to say download something, print something. It's very frustrating. And actually, I learned that myself. Yes. My kids, even with my iPhone, when I'd have trouble, my kids would say, "Dad, just turn it off and turn it back on." And sure enough, yeah. 9 out of 10 times it's fixed.
Yes, yes.
Yep, it's true. Simple, luckily.
Absolutely. What we're going to focus on a good bit today is shopping online, because the number of scams that go on, unfortunately, with online, you're getting emails, and this one's a true one. I got a 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm on the board of my church, and I got an American Express card through the church.
Oh.
So any purchases I do, okay, that's fine. Within a week, I got an email asking for verification, etc., from American Express. And I'm lazy. I didn't get to it. So like a week went by, and I happened to be at the congregation, and I said, "Do I have to fill this out, or you fill it out for me?" So they said, "Oh, you should fill that out." I said, "Okay, fine." So I forwarded it to my office. And when I got to my office, I couldn't download it. Obviously, it was on my phone. So I called them for the information. They said, "What are you talking about? We didn't send you anything."
Oh, boy.
It wasn't from them at all.
She said, "Please, American Express has a spoof or something." I sent it to them. They had the beginning of the number on it.
So here's the simplest way to detect an email scam, and I just wrote a blog in October about this. Again, if you go to askgabbystokes.com, you can read it. But when you receive an email that has a subject, or in the body of the email, it has something that's an alert of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's alerting you that you need to contact your credit card company. It's alerting you that your email account is about to expire because you've got too many things in it. It's alerting you that you've been scammed in some way. The very first thing to do is take a breath, because 9 times out of 10, it's a scam. But the best way to determine if it's a scam is move your mouse up. Don't click on it. Just rest it on the name of the sender, because what will happen is it will look like the sender's name is American Express. But when you move your mouse up on top of those words, what will show is the actual sender's email address, the full address, with the at symbol and whatever comes after it, and you will see it is not American Express at all. It's some random, you know, Jackie 5 at whatever. So before you do anything with an email that alerts you to anything, it should alert you to be cautious. When they're warning you about something, they're playing on your fears. The two ways you get scammed on the computer is either fear or curiosity. So they either want to lure you in because they're making you intimidated, or they're luring you in because they're doing something that makes you curious. So I always say, if there's a moment, we're all very wise. You know, digital immigrants, those 40 years and older who weren't born with a computer in their hand, have the great advantage of a lot of life experience. And we know when you're walking down a street and something happens in your head and you sort of go, "I'm not feeling comfortable," you'll turn around and leave. But with a computer, where they get us is because we're not as comfortable with this technology, we're too polite when we get scared. We don't go into, you know, "I'm moving away" mode. We go into, "Oh, it must know better than I do, so I'm going to do what it says." And I want to have people change their mindset about that and say to themselves, if I'm asking the words, should I open this email, should I click on this link, should I give them this password? That's the moment that the answer is no, because you wouldn't answer the question if you knew the answer. So to be on the safe side, when you get an email and you say, "Huh, should I respond to this email from Amex? It looks suspicious." First, move your mouse up to the email and actually see who it's from. Second, always, in the case of something like American Express, do exactly what you did. Contact the bank directly yourself. Not through the email and not through the phone number in the email. Go to the source that you have on the back of your credit card. Or call Bank of America or HSBC or whoever it is you bank with. Call the number you've always had for the bank and ask them about it before you take an action with an email.
Actually, that's another good point.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
That's a good point. Use the number that's on your card, because they could set up a number in the email
of course
that's going to them too. Terrific.
Yeah. So you want to be super, I don't want to make anybody scared or paranoid, but I want to empower people to say, no, I don't have to respond to this. I don't have to click on this. I can investigate it like I would anything else and make a determination myself. But the easiest thing with email scams, even when it looks like it came from a friend of yours and their name appears or your name appears, move your mouse up onto the name and you'll see that it's actually not that person's email address. That's the easiest way to detect.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
A good scoreboard. When in doubt, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. That's true. But
if
I mean,
you ask, should I? The answer is no.
The mouse idea is tremendous. I mean, I usually, you know, from the scam ones from people, you usually have like 15 or 20 names on it. So that's when I get rid of them. But this one looked very, very official.
Well, and I can copy and paste American Express's logo and put it into an email and look like it comes from them. That's the problem, is it's so easy to make these things look official. Yeah. But it also, it will never, your bank will never, and your email service will never ask you to click on a link and type in your password. Ever, ever, ever. Right. So if that's the request that's being made, you know right away it's a scam.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are some other, Abby, what are some other tips for this holiday season? Because, I mean, people are, you hear it more and more, people are moving to Amazon, and not moving to it, but, you know, they're doing more online shopping.
Well,
than
sure,
in the past.
And online shopping has fantastic benefits. I mean, one, you don't have to leave your house. You know, two, you don't have to be the one packaging things and putting them to the post office. And three, often it's less expensive. So there are lots of compelling reasons to do online shopping, and I think all of them are hugely valid. Yeah. Although supporting your local brick-and-mortar stores is a great way to help your economy in your local neighborhood. But if you're going to shop online, the first thing I always tell people is to have a second email address so that you have one email address that you use for friends, family, business associates, and you have a second email address that you use when you shop online. Because the same way that your mailbox, your three-dimensional mailbox, gets so full of catalogs that you don't really want to receive anymore, that's what will happen to you once you send, give an email address out when you're shopping online. And email addresses are free to establish. So you could have an email address with the same server that you're using, Yahoo, Hotmail, Gmail, but just change the beginning of it. So instead of it being abbystokes@yahoo.com, it might be abbyshops@yahoo.com. And that way it diverts all that junk mail to that second address.
No, I was wondering, doing that, if I or anyone were to do that today and set up a separate email account for shopping, about how long, in your experience, would it take for all the other, you know, the catalogs, et cetera, to start drifting over to David's shop?
You'd have to be proactive with the existing email address that you've been using, and you're going to start to indicate that those junk mail emails that you've been getting about shopping, because you had shopped online, you're going to start reporting them as spam.
Uh-huh.
And that will stop them from coming into the original inbox of your original email address. And so you'll see very soon, after establishing that email address and you shop online, you're going to see how many junk emails you get in the secondary email account. And I don't really care. I sort of delete them en masse, and it's not such a bother. And I don't look at it as often because it's not the one that I think I'm getting personal emails in. But you have to be proactive with the existing account. If you have a lot of junk mail coming into the existing account, you have to start making sure you're identifying it as spam to get rid of it.
That's good to know. Thank you.
And as far as fear of using your credit card when you're online shopping, let's remember, most importantly, your credit card is vulnerable every time you use it, whether you give it to a busboy in a restaurant or you call up L.L. Bean and give it to them over the phone. I'm never as concerned that somebody's going to steal my credit card information, because if they do and you see it on your credit card bill, you're only ever legally liable up to $50 on your credit card. And actually, I've never had anybody, any credit card company, make me pay anything when I've identified fraud on the card. The inconvenience is having the card canceled in the time that you discover the fraud and they send you the new card. So my suggestion always is to have one credit card that you use just for shopping online. So if it gets canceled, it doesn't inconvenience you with the card that you use most of the time.
I agree with that, because a lot of people have automatic pay on their card, whether it's Easy Pass or the newspaper or something, that does become a mess. But actually, at this point, Abby, we have to take a break.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. We'll be right back.